Now, our next guest is a woman of the sea. Niamh Ní Driscoll is here to tell us a bit about island life and a new programme that she and the island features in. Malach na Mara, it's called, and Niamh is on the line. Hi, Niamh.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you do for work, all that kind of stuff?
Sure. So I'm born and bred on Ireland's most southerly inhabited island of Cape Clear or Éilean Clara. And I suppose I began my journey into this world on board the lifeboat when my mum was medevaced off the island at Christmas time to have me. So that really kind of started my journey and explains my love of all things sea and boating, as it were. I grew up here in the island. My dad's from the island, born and bred, and he's actually one of only two people left on the island who was physically born on the island. And my mum is actually from Dublin, like yourself.
You are not selling yourself very well, because I'm going to give your resume here now. You're a chemistry teacher, a vice principal, and the first female ferry skipper in Ireland.
Somewhat true, yeah.
all true, unless I need to fire some researcher. But fair play. So what made you become a ferry skipper, and how did all that come about?
So I grew up on boats, and I would go out fishing with my dad when I was very young. From even when I was too young to fish, I would be brought out while he had to haul the lobster pots, and I'd have my mid-morning nap on board his boat. And as I got older, he kind of started teaching me how to handle boats and do little jobs on board his fishing boat. And I suppose I just grew up with that. And I was very fortunate then when I was finished first year of college, and the late Grace Cahoor O'Driscoll, who was skipper of the Cape Clear Ferry at the time, asked me would I be interested in crewing on the Nave Ciarán Ó, which was the ferry at the time. And I jumped at it with both hands, becoming the first crewman to work on the ferry. And it was essentially my dream job. I mean, I'd done all the other traditional jobs, worked the bars and whatnot. I love meeting people and I love the sea, so it really married the two perfectly. And I continued on with that right through college. When I qualified as a teacher, I then set about studying, trying to get my skipper's ticket. So I studied various courses over a period of 2.5 years.
Tell us about that. Does it take 2 years? Is that how long it takes? Just if anybody's listening who would have an interest in something like this.
Yeah, so it's quite different, because there's a variety of different licenses there. You know, it's not like your typical car license. One license covers everything. Yeah. So I've got two different ferry licenses, as it were. I have a P5 license, which allows me to operate anywhere in Ireland up to 40 miles offshore, but only with 12 passengers. And then the ticket I studied for 2.5 years for doing various courses with BIM would have taken, as I said, about 2.5 years doing different courses. And that gave me the domestic ferry operator's license, which allows me to carry up to 100 people on board at one time within a designated area. And then if you want to add to the area, there is another process that goes that you take to add different areas onto your ticket.
Have you ever had any hairy moments on the scene that made you think, oh God, I don't know if I can do this?
No, I suppose, you know, one thing that has been instilled in us here from a very, very young age, in particular by my dad and my uncles, who have lost a brother at sea when he was only 18, is safety at sea. And, you know, we're taught how to read the weather, we're taught the markings, we're taught what route to take when the wind is blowing for a certain direction, and the tide is at a certain height, and so on. So we've never gone out when it hasn't been safe to do so. And that's something, I suppose, that is very important to us, but is also something that we are very proud of as an organisation as well, and that we put passenger safety above all else. That's top priority.
Good on you. Can you tell us about what you do as the chairperson of the Cape Clear Cooperation?
Yeah, so I'm very proud of my association of Cork and Clare Show, which was set up in 1979 with the sole purpose of kind of improving the socioeconomic development of the island. So it could be from the simplistic things in terms of providing a service of coal and gas to kind of looking at opportunities to create employment. So, for example, we would have been one of the leading driving forces setting up Ireland's first and only offshore island distillery here on Cape Clear. We're in the process of, we've just gotten planning permission for the playground. So we're working on that at the moment. And I suppose one of the biggest projects we have underway at the moment is that of the gateway housing. Like anywhere in Ireland, you know, housing is a huge crisis, but it's been a huge crisis here for the last almost 20 years. Something we've addressed both locally, nationally, and indeed internationally is that the housing policy of the mainland just simply does not work for the islands. It's like trying to stick a square peg in a round hole.
Why is that?
It's the set of conditions that go with it just don't work with island life. And you'd see that across the board. Things that are hampering progress across all of the islands of Ireland is not the determination of the island people. It's not the resilience or, you know, the Kirkwigga, the one, you know, get up and go and we'll do it ourselves. It's the policies that are hampering it. So, for example, our latest challenge with the housing, we applied for planning for 4 houses and we had to withdraw the planning 24 hours before we were due to get an answer on advice and fairness from the Cork County Council, whose own policy is in favour of cluster housing. However, the national policy is in favour of cluster housing, but only within a certain area close to a town or a village. The problem with that is there are no towns or villages on the islands.
Okay.
So we fall between two policies.
Yeah.
Now, we're hopeful with the release of the recent or Living Islands policy, which came out last May, where it's stated there in black and white about gateway housing, which is actually a Corkum initiative, something we're very proud of, that we're hoping that we can use that in our favour and go back to planning again. Mm. It's an initiative that we designed ourselves, taking a model that they used in Scotland and in Scotland Island, and it didn't only stop population decline, it actually reversed it. So we're very confident that we'd have similar success here on the island if we're given the tools to be able to do the work ourselves. I mean, take Inishman there last year when they advertised a house for the year with affordable rent, and they had 1,600 applicants. So there is an appetite out there for it, in particular in a post-COVID world.
Absolutely.
So we just need to be given the policies to enable us to do it.
And if people want to move to the island, would you say Irish is very important to have? I mean, do you guys speak Irish day to day in your everyday life?
In my family, yes, I do.
Yeah.
It certainly wouldn't be a hindrance to move to an island at all if we're quite a cosmopolitan population with people from all corners of the globe here. It is an advantage, and it is nice when people use their cúpla focal, and if they don't come with a cúpla focal, that they may learn a cúpla focal. But for me personally, Gaeilge is so important. It is a very much an intrinsic part of our heritage and our culture and tradition here, and it's very much an important part of who I am as a person. And I think as an island nation, we should be proud of the fact that we have this beautiful, unique language. And I remember chatting to Rachel last week, and I was saying, you know, there are people who don't speak Irish who are Irish, and that's fine. But nobody has ever come to me, and I suppose I'm very aware of this given the years I've worked as a skipper on the Cape Clear Ferry. I always use my cúpla focal when I'm working, they would always say, God, I regret not learning Irish more when I was in school. I've never met a person who can speak Irish that has regretted learning it.
No.
And to say that it's a dead language is so unfair to those of us who do speak it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people say, oh, it's not important. Sure, what use have you of it? Well, I can't play a musical instrument, but I really enjoy people who play music around me, and I appreciate their craft. Similarly, I can't paint a picture, but I can value the importance of the artists and what they contribute to the world at large. So I think a little bit of a greater understanding for the importance of our Irish language is all we need, even if you're not fluent yourself.
Well, and you speak so well about it, and you're very passionate about it. I was just Googling there if you have any Gael talks on the island I can send my children to improve their
Irish. Do indeed send them down to us, and we've a very unique Irish college here. It's almost like a boutique one, because obviously we had to reinvent the wheel to a degree post-COVID. So we've just had, traditionally would have been 3-week courses. We now have 2 2-week courses, Cailleadh Na Póilvá Chlaire, where they do pottery lessons, art lessons, kayaking, and their traditional Irish classes, all through Gaeilge Ar Nóg.
Amazing. Lassie, can I ask you, what can people do to help future-proof, I suppose, the safety of an island like Cape Clear and island living in general?
Mm-hmm. That's actually a really important question. I suppose it's important to find out that island life isn't for everyone, and we don't expect it to be. But I suppose it's just have a greater understanding of what island life entails. For example, you know, I mean, it made the headlines there during the week in paper and everything. Oh, the islanders are getting everything for free again, because in relation to the derelict housing scheme that was announced nationally for the government, they're giving a 30% increase to island projects of the same vein. However, what's not made clear, I suppose, in the sensationalist headlines is that 30% doesn't go to the construction works. That 30% goes simply for importing the material that's needed into the island. It is far more expensive to build on the island. Mm-hmm. It's number one, you have to bring material in.
Sure.
And number two, you have to try and source craftspeople who are willing and prepared to come in to work on an island, which isn't always the easiest thing to do. So just enhance their understanding of it, I suppose, number one. And number two, you know, people go abroad, they go to Greece, they go to Croatia, and they spend a fortune going out to see all these beautiful islands when we have these beautiful islands on our own doorstep. I mean, the Wild Atlantic Way is exalted in every corner of the globe. And if the Wild Atlantic Way is the crown of Ireland, then the islands are the jewels within that crown, and they need to be minded and looked after, and are most definitely worth a day trip, if not a few nights.
Amazing. You're so right. Is that why you did the show, just to highlight island life and these gorgeous islands that we have around Ireland? I mean, is that one of the reasons you took part in Malachnamara?
It is, absolutely. It's the main reason, and probably the only reason I really, you know, I jumped to it with both hands, because any opportunity we have to showcase Cape Clear, Ilan Clara, we grab it with both hands, because we might be a small island, but we're a very special one. And as an island community, down throughout the ages, way back in history, going back as far as the American Revolution, it's an island that has been ahead of its time and punching above its weight. And, you know, I think it's a great opportunity to show the wider community just what Ilan Clara, indeed all the other islands of Ireland, have to offer.
Well, I can't wait to see it now. Niamh, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Best of luck with everything.
Gurmeen Maga, Jennifer.
Thanks, Niamh. Slán. There we go. That is Niamh. And you can catch Malachnamara. It begins tonight at 7 p.m. on RTÉ1 and the RTÉ Player. Jen Zamparelli on RTÉ 2 FM.